Because if you don't, the altars are right here before we ever get started. Because without Jesus, if you've watched my life in the last year, you know, without Jesus, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Without Jesus, I wouldn't have the confidence that I have in him right now, because I know that he can do exactly what his word says he can do. I've been thinking and praying about what I was going to speak on, and if I was to put a title to the message, it would be, Jesus is the only answer. If you're missing something in your life, if there is a piece missing in your life, Jesus is that missing piece. I guarantee you, whatever you're going through, and we're going to look at about three different stories in the Bible we're going to look at and kind of get an idea of when you're at your end of your rope and all that stuff, you don't know what else to do. Turn to Jesus, because he will take you through it. If you have your Bibles or your devices, we're going to first go to Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at a story here that everybody's familiar with, and hopefully I can say something that you might have never heard before or a different thought, because I've really been, when Pastor Terry asked me back in back in December if I would, and she said, you know, get prepared and all that stuff. Well, I've been working on this sermon for a long, long, long time, because just a brief history, and then we'll get into the word, just a brief history, and a lot of people know. I was called to preach at 12 years old. I'd started wearing glasses when I was very, very young, and of course was going to public schools, going to get the common stuff. Oh, there's four eyes over there with his glasses and all that stuff. I was about 12 years old. My mother's a very, very godly woman and stuff. We was going to a good church, you know, good pastor, and about 10 o'clock at night one night, I told God, I said, I don't want to wear glasses no more. So I went in there and told my mom, and she said, well, the doctor said, big mistake, it don't matter what the doctor said. But I said, no. I said, I ain't wearing glasses again. And she said, but the doctor said you would have headaches for the rest of your life. Your eyesight would progressively get worse as you aged. And I said, no. So my mom proceeded to go to the living room. She started making phone calls to the ladies in the church. And 10:30 at night, we headed to the church with a bunch of praying women. I'm telling you, women that knew how to talk to God. So we I'm going to tell my age, I'm getting older and all that stuff, but we used to have altars at the front of the church. And I think it's something that we should get back in a lot of churches, you know, an old-fashioned altar where the people before us, you know, that's where. But anyway, we went up there, and I laid those glasses on the altar, and I said, I ain't picking them up again. These women prayed till about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. That exact night, I was, God called me to preach, and I said, oh no, I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know what to do and all that stuff. And 2-3 weeks passed, and my mom finally said, she said, you haven't been wearing your glasses. She said, have you been having headaches? I said, absolutely not. And to this day, two things I wake up every morning thanking God for. I've got plenty of hair and my eyesight. You always got something to thank God for. And I was called to preach, and I've tried a few times when I was a teenager and just too young and inexperienced to get and. Then got in my 20s and all that stuff, got married, and of course I was a young man and still, you know, the desires of the world and all that stuff, so I ventured out into the world and all that stuff, got lost in there for a long time, and finally, and did it for a long time. I'd go to church, but Bible says to be hot or cold. If he's lukewarm, he'd spit you out of his mouth. It's exactly what I went through for 20-something years. I kept thinking, what am I going to do? But I was doing stuff on Friday and Saturday night and then thinking, oh, I go to church on Sunday and everything's going to be fine. No, not the case. But December of 2021, I had lost one of the best jobs I've ever had. I was depressed. I didn't know what else to do, what we're doing. We were COVID had brought us, we were living in Kansas City. COVID had brought us back to, took us back to Texas. We were living with friends, couldn't find a place to live, couldn't afford it anyway because I couldn't find no work. And finally, Christmas morning of 2021, I woke up that morning before everybody else, went in there into the recliner and leaned my recliner back, looked up to heaven, and I said, God, I can't do this no more. What do I do? And he said exactly what you've always been known to do. And I turned my life back to God fully then. And God had, it's been a roller coaster. See, when you put God number one in your life, you better hang on because the devil is, but thank God the Bible says submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he shall flee. It didn't say that he might flee. It didn't say that that he would have a choice in the matter. Our part is to submit to God, to give God everything. When we wake up in the morning, God, I am blessed and highly favored. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice no matter what comes my way. We're going to look at may not get to, because I'm on a time crunch. I don't know how, haven't did this in a long way. I don't know how long-winded I am, so we're going to potentially look at three stories in the Bible and kind of show you that God is always in control. Even in the midst of the storm, God is still faithful. Just like Francisco, he hit it right on the nail. Satan has come against us in every which way, but Jesus has been right there saying, no, you're not touching my children. Same with everyone in this. Satan has no authority over your life. You have authority over him because of the blood of Christ. Let's look at chapter 3 in Acts. We're going to start in for the initial reading of God's word, let's all stand and give reverence to God and his word that he'll have for us today. I won't make you stand every time I read scripture, now Peter and John went up starting in verse 1 through 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, This is God's word at its finest right here. But then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Got a note right here in this Bible and all that stuff, constantly praising God. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. We are to praise God all the time. That's what we were born for. We were born to glorify God. We were born to praise God. That's why we were created, is to glorify and praise God. If we're doing anything else, our lives will never be right. And they knew what it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them and to the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity to stand in your presence, God. God, we're thankful for the everybody in this church, God, all the prayers and stuff they prayed for me and my family, God, for all the good things that's coming to this church, all the good things that you have in store for this church. God, I ask that you would anoint my lips, God, to deliver your word exactly the way the Holy Spirit would want me to deliver it. God, I ask you to anoint the ears of your children in this congregation to where they would be able to hear something, God, that changes their life, that transforms their life. God, I ask that you and you only be glorified in Jesus' name. And God's children said amen. We see here a man, I'm not a cripple. Not yet. But I'm not a cripple, but I did this for it. Said it don't exactly say how long he said it that gate. They most, yeah, most Bibles and commentaries and different things say that at least 40 years. The man was at least 40 years old. He'd been crippled since he was a kid. 40 years he sat there. Funny thing is, I was 41 years old when I finally made the commitment to God to put him number one and all that. And I identify with this man. I mean, it's a completely different way. It don't matter what you're going through. God is always right there. Jesus, the name of Jesus is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. And this man undoubtedly got up every morning discouraged. How many in here? I'm preaching to myself too. I'm not pointing out anybody. I'm preaching to myself. How many wake up some mornings discouraged? How many wake up and say, "Oh man, I got to go to work again. I've got to go do this again. I've got to go deal with that boss again. I hope I make enough today to where I can meet my needs and all that stuff." We've all been there. Because I think working for a living is the most overrated thing that's ever been, but that's the way, you know. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to Adam about that and see what he has to say. But 40 years he sat there, waking up every morning, discouraged, depressed. Am I going to have enough food for today? But anybody knows that I'm assuming you're sitting there begging all that stuff. Some days might be really good. Some days might be really bad. To where you weren't, "Oh, is somebody going to bring me a, large meal from Dairy Queen? Or am I not going to have nothing today?" But this man sat there for 40 years. Can you imagine not being able to work for a living? Not being able to supply the needs that... But guess what? Jesus was the answer, because it says that Peter, John and Peter looked upon the man because the Holy Spirit directed their attention to this man, because they knew they had faith. This guy's that sat at the gate, when they looked upon him, he thought, "Oh man, I'm about to get something good. These are men of God. I'm bound to be able to get something good." Little did this man know that this was going to be the greatest day of his life. This could be the greatest day of your life. Jesus could step in, and he has. Reason I chose this little story in here is Jesus stepped into my life exactly when I needed him to. I had a water somewhere. Jesus stepped into my life, but it took me fixing my eyes on him. He never, the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I left him for many, many years and all that stuff. And what's so wonderful about the power of Jesus and the grace of Jesus is even when I wasn't living right, he still took care of me. Can't hear me? Around my neck? Okay. Okay, where was that better? Hello? Can you hear me now? This is like a Verizon commercial. But where was I at? Oh, he didn't. Jesus never left me when I was. I believe the man, this man right there, right here, when he looked on, like I said, he was expecting something awesome. But what he got, we can't even explain all that stuff. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have. I give in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are no, a lot of people think, well, we can't, that was Bible days, and we can't do what they did in the Bible. It's not what the, you better look again. Because when Jesus was descending to heaven, he told his disciples, see all these things I've been doing? See all. And Jesus was out before. Just a taste of what Jesus did and all that stuff. But when Jesus was descending into heaven, he told his disciples, greater things than this shall you do. Because I'm going to the Father. Peter and John were disciples of Jesus. Guess what? Everybody in this house today is disciples of Jesus. We have the power to do exactly what they did in the New Testament. We can obtain the same power that John and Peter had. And when we see somebody in need, and you feel led to talk to them, you feel led to pray for them, don't miss that opportunity. You may be the only one that person would listen to because God put you in the right moment at the right time. John and Peter were at the moment at the right time, and this guy received a miracle because he did. Lots of times when God promises me something and tells me that he's going to do something in my life, my flesh doubts. My flesh will doubt, and I'll think sometimes, God, but guess what? What God's done for others, he'll do for me. What God's done for others, he'll do for you, everyone in here. And what God did for this man, and this, it said right after this guy, he got up and started leaping and praising and walking. He'd never walked before. Can you imagine the excitement in him? The funny thing is guess what? How many more times in the Bible do you hear about this man? Did you hear about him begging again? Did you hear about him being crippled again? No, you didn't, because he put his trust in God. Just like when God touched his life, just like he touched mine, it increased my faith so much to where, I'm walking, I'm leaping, I'm praising God all the time because God has done a miracle in my life. He saved my soul. He really saved my soul. I struggled for many, 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 many years in the world, expecting the world to get, because the pleasures of the world, they last just a short time, but the graces of God is going to last for eternity. And we never hear again about this man. There's really not much shows on it. I'm assuming maybe the next day he went and found him a job. Started making his own money, started supporting. You know, he I don't really know if he had a family at the time. Maybe, oh, I can walk, I can take care of myself, God's in my life. If you're struggling with absolutely anything, if you're struggling with anything, look to Jesus. And we're going to look at another story over in Matthew chapter 14. Remember I said just now that it's very important that whatever we're going through, whether good or bad, we keep our eyes on Jesus. Because we take our eyes off of Jesus, bad things are going to happen. Sometimes even with your eyes on, bad things still happen, but thank God we've got Jesus right there, and we're going to see here again, just like this crippled man, 40 years he sat at that gate, and then all of a sudden, oh, Jesus came on. Right then, it was the name of Jesus that changed his life. The name of Jesus can change your life. He's changed mine. If y'all would have known me 4 years ago, y'all wouldn't. I was ugly, uglier than this. But I had an attitude. I still kind of, well, I had a very, very bad temper. I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing. And my mouth was so bad. And I'm telling you right now, my mouth was the hardest thing. Just like the Bible says, the tongue's hard to tame. And because I had a lot of hate and a lot of stuff, you know, I let church hurt me, and but thank God my life has changed now, because I was saved at a young age, but I wandered away. But thank God that when I needed him, the second in December of 2021, the second I went to God and said, hey, I can't do this. I'd been the kind of guy in my life that I would read the Bible periodically growing up. We'd read a chapter a night, you know, Monday through Friday, and I would, I knew all the verses that everybody knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I knew Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my need. I knew all the important verses, all the, you know, the ones you see on all the t-shirts and all the banners everywhere you go. But I really didn't know the word. That next morning, that was Christmas Day of 20. The next morning, my Bibles were in storage because we had moved back 40 miles away. And, man, I don't want to drive no 40 miles through Dallas traffic. So I went to Mardell's in Garland, Texas, and bought a new Bible. I brought it home, and for the first time in my life, brought it home day after Christmas. In 3 months, I'd read it cover to cover. In 3 months, I'm not bragging on myself. If you've never, and I don't know if there's anybody in here that's never did that, just read it straight through, because one thing is certain about God's Word that I've learned by reading through it. The Bible proves God's faithfulness over and over and over again. And if you see the world we're in right now, this is unfolding right before our eyes. Revelations, Daniel, Ezekiel, everything is falling in just like Jesus said it would. But we've got hope. It said when all the Bible says when all these things begin to start happening, what does it say, dude? Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Let's look at this other story in John 14, verses 22 through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Says right here, he sent them away filled both physically and spiritually. That's pretty good. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Can you imagine being out on the sea at 3 o'clock in the morning, see a man walking on the water? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How many, and then we'll continue reading, how many, like I said, I'm preaching to myself too, but how many times has God told you to do something, you stepped out. Your faith lets you step out and all that stuff, but guess what? The world begin to show itself around. We're going to look here. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased, and they who were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God." Jesus told Peter to step. Peter stepped. When Peter stepped out of that boat, guess what? He had his eyes on Jesus. Jesus done told him he had his eyes on Jesus, but he stepped out of the boat. Just like I used to be afraid to step out of the boat. I used to be the one that, Jesus said, "Oh, do this," and I ain't going to do that. Peter had the faith to step out of the boat, but just like all of us in life and all that stuff, the storms of life begin to work around. How many's been through storms? It don't matter what kind of storm it is. It could be cancer. It could be bad finances. It could be just anything that just puts a strain on you so bad that, hey, it's easy sometimes to look at what is going on around us and begin to get discouraged, but God, what are we going to do? What we're going to do is we're going to step out of the boat. What we're going to do is we're not going to be like Peter did. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because that's at the exact moment Peter looked at the storm around him. That's when he began to sink. When we take our eyes off Jesus, that is when we begin to sink. We may not be out on the ocean at 3 o'clock in the morning, but with the ocean of life, there's a song that, "Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith that it would take to climb out of this boat I'm on, onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realms of the unknown, where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand." Beautiful song. But Jesus is right there. We're not out on the, but right now, Jesus, everybody in here, Jesus is holding out his hand. He's saying, "Come. Step out of the boat, whatever happens," and all that stuff. Nobody in this place may never walk on water. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm ever out on the boat and Jesus tells me to step out of the boat, I'm going to step out of the boat, because I've did it many times in life, and Jesus has been right there. A lot of times I begin to fall. But guess what? Jesus, you're not going to sink anymore. Quit worrying about the storm. Quit worrying about what's going on in life. Quit worrying about the cancer. Quit worrying about the finances being bad. Bible says, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glories." It says, by his stripes we are healed. We don't have to be sick because of who Jesus is. But it's hard sometimes to put Jesus at the place where he is our only source. I'm not a rich man, but I'm going to tell you right now, every time a need comes up in my life, God provides. Last summer, we didn't have a vehicle and all that stuff. Guess what? God provided a vehicle. We sold that vehicle a couple of weeks ago, praying for something newer, a little more room, because we're starting to have a little problems with that vehicle, with the front end and stuff. But we're going to pick up a new vehicle tomorrow because God has been faithful. It's not new, but it's a lot newer than what we've had in a long time. And Paul says in, be content in whatever state you're in. Sometimes it's hard to do something, and but just keep in mind, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus because the storms are going to rage. There's another old song that probably, you know, the other song probably, there's another song, of course. Nobody's probably heard this song either. It's more of a, I'm from the South, if you can't tell. Most people know. But a lot of these are more Southern gospel songs, so, you know, it's not a real common thing up here. But the chorus of the song goes, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm a storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. How many is in a storm? I'll be the first to. We're all in a storm. This world is in bad shape right now. The coming of Jesus is right up on us. And frankly, I can't wait. I can't wait to see my son again. And thank God that he's been faithful. He's proven himself to me so much over the last few months. Because if we'd have been talking about this time last year before my son had passed and somebody had come up to me and said, hey, you're going to lose your son in August, I'd have told him, no, there's no way. There's no way I could go through that. I know a lot of you thinking here right now, if one of your children passed away tomorrow, what you would do. I can tell you what you're going to do. What you need to do, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, you're not going to sink. You're going to have days just like the man at the gate. You're going to have days to, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do it today. I don't even have the energy or nobody to take me down, you know, to get what I need to make ends meet. I don't have the strength to do it again. Jesus is your strength. If you need strength, Jesus is your strength. If you need healing, by his stripes we are healed. We're going to look at one more. I got about 10 minutes here. I think I'm doing pretty good on time. I'm kind of surprised. Luke chapter, I had to find where my note was. Luke chapter 8. Verses 43 through 48. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Remember what I said when I first started, when my mom, godly woman as she was, she said, the physician said, the doctor said, the doctor couldn't do nothing here. She had been trying for 12 years, going to different doctors, different specialists, and no. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was gone. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they who were with him said, Master, multitude throng you and press you, and you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter,
be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. God, Jesus did a lot of stuff in the Bible. But many times, that exact thing right there, your faith has made you whole. All we've got to do is tell Jesus you can. An old saying I used to write on everything. It was, I can't, Jesus can, and I'm going to let him. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When we go to Jesus with something, long as it lines up with the word, and we ask according to his will, he said, your faith. I hope somebody's getting that. I hope somebody's getting that, because your faith, the more you put Jesus first, the more you feel your stuff, because we go through life sometimes. Sometimes it's easy to have all the, just like we read about Peter up on the water, sometimes we're so flooded with things of the world coming up on us, storms of life, and we're out on the ships of life, and we don't know what else to do, and it's hard sometimes to tell Jesus, hey, I know you can take care of this day. Because I come up with every excuse I can think of not to come this morning. But, well, the devil put the thoughts in my head. Oh, why can't you do this? Why can't you, why can't you use this excuse? Well, I use the excuses I used back in January. God met the needs, so I thought, well, God, you took away the excuses, so I can't. The point of the message, I think, is Jesus, this, like the title goes, Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is always the answer. He's always, anybody ever done puzzles? Put puzzles together with their kids or whatever, puzzle and all that stuff. And oh my goodness, there's a piece missing. You put a piece missing, now this is not complete with that missing piece gone. I mean, that's hideous. A puzzle with a missing piece, just like that's life. God showed me this a few months ago. Life's never going to be complete without that missing piece. No matter who you are, where you're at, what you're going through, whether you're as close to God as you can be or you're as far as God from God as you can be, Jesus can always fill that piece that's missing. It don't matter if it's sickness. It don't matter if it's finances. It don't matter if it's depression. It don't matter if you need deliverance, God's here. If you've got a habit that you're trying to get rid of, because I had some habits that I had that was very hard to put down, and some of them's just been, I'll be honest, because God knows, some of them I just recently, in the last several months, was finally overcome. But the thing is I've learned to put my eyes on Jesus more. Don't worry about that, the alcohol cannot fulfill anything. Drugs cannot fulfill anything. Food cannot fill anything. Man shall not live by bread alone. But when you're struggling and you're starting to sink, quick as you can, put your eyes right back on Jesus. And he's definitely, I promise you, he's going to be right there. I promise you, he's going to be right there. He's going to say, hey, I got you. I'm going to tell you right now, I know a lot of stories of different people in this church and all that stuff. God's had a lot of people in this church. Without God, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. Am I right? Without God, you wouldn't be sitting there right now, because Satan came to steal and to kill. But Jesus came that there would be life. That's why he came. That's why he went to the cross, to where we can put our eyes on him. We don't have to worry about what's going on. We don't have this, like I started, when I started, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. That's our life in a nutshell right there. Put our eyes on Jesus. Tell the devil where his place is. And look up, because your redemption draws nigh. I'm going to turn it back to Terry. So, and I'm assuming that, though, be an altar call and all that stuff, if you don't really know who Jesus is, I beg you, come. If you want a closer relationship with Jesus, I beg you, come. If you're on fire for Jesus and everything's going good in your life and God is really helping you out, we need you people up here to help pray for people, because apparently you're doing something right. You know, so, I'm going to pray. It's been a long time since I did this. I hope I said something that the Holy Spirit would cause you to ponder this week when things come up. And I'm going to tell you right now, after me saying this to everybody in here, I can almost guarantee that there's going to be some things come up in people's lives this week. But remember, put your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And I guarantee you, keep your eyes on Jesus, you're not going to sink. You're not going to sink. And if you start to, and if you look at the storm and you do begin to sink, look back. That's what grace is. Oh, I got discouraged. I doubted a little bit. Jesus, like, I knew you was going to. I'm right here. But let's pray, and then I'm going to turn it to Terry, and she can do an altar call, because we need Jesus now more than we've ever needed him. Amen? It's like I said, you see the world around you, you see the storms around you and all that stuff. We need Jesus now more than ever, because if we don't put Jesus number one, I don't want to stand in front of Jesus and him tell me eternal, I never knew you, because you didn't put your trust in me. We put our trust in him. We keep our eyes on him. It don't matter. And if you don't have my phone number, email address, or whatever, if you're going through something and you think, y'all, you don't know what to do, call me, text me, email me. If you don't have my number, get my number, because whatever you're going through, I guarantee I help you find the answer. The answer is Jesus, and it's right here in his word. Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to turn it to Terry. Father in heaven, we're thankful, God, for your word. God, we're thankful that you're always there. We're thankful for you sending your son to Calvary to atone for our sins, God, that we would have a promise of eternal life. God, we're thankful that when we keep our eyes upon you, God, that we don't have to worry about what's going on around us. We don't have to worry about the storms of life. We don't have to worry about sickness. We don't have to worry about habits. We don't have to worry about addictions. We don't have to worry about depression, because, God, you were always the source. Your son's blood covers us. God, I ask that the Holy Spirit would deal with each and everybody in this place throughout the coming weeks, God, that we fix our eyes on you and keep our eyes on you. God, increase our faith to where we can step out of the boat and walk on the waters of life without any distractions. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.